Open with me in your copy of God's Word to John chapter 14. We're in the upper room. Jesus, he's washed the disciples' feet. He's instituted the Lord's Supper. He's given the morsel of bread to Judas. And we saw last week that he even announced that Peter would betray him, deny him. Peter, who was overzealous, overconfident in himself to proclaim his allegiance to the Lord Jesus, he tells Jesus that wherever Jesus would go, that Peter would also go with Jesus, and that Peter would even be willing to die. And I think there's a lesson there to learn about in the overconfidence of the flesh. Paul will say that when he is weak, I am strong, because the power of Christ rests on us when we are humble. And as we see in the Gospel of Matthew, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter says that he would actually be willing to go and lay his life down for Jesus. Jesus, he calls Peter's bluff, and he says, would you actually be willing to lay your life down for me? Because the fact of the matter is that by the next morning, before the rooster is going to crow, Peter is going to deny Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. And we will see this denial later in John chapter 18, and in the Gospel of Luke, we will see that the Lord will actually make eye contact with Peter. And if you want to talk about shame and guilt, just imagine the agonizing feeling of the Son of God's gaze at you after you have denied him three times and after he actually predicted it, he foretold it. Last week, we said that Jesus, he's announced his departure. He gives final instructions. He gives a new command that they are to love one another as he has loved them. And as you recall, at the beginning of John chapter 13, it says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the very end. Jesus has told us that this is the distinguishing factor, love. All will know that we are his disciples by love. So this is our context. We pick up at John chapter 14, and we're actually going to read the first 11 verses. John chapter 14, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long? And yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sakes of the miracles themselves. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray again. That great Anglican prayer, O Lord, what we know not, teach us. What we are not, make us. And what we have not, give us. In Christ, amen. Don't let your heart be troubled. you remember, 2 weeks ago, Jesus, he was troubled in his spirit. He was stirred, just like when he was at the graveside of Lazarus, just like the waters were stirred in John 5. Jesus, he now tells his disciples, and he tells us, let not your heart be troubled. They're obviously troubled somehow, whether in spirit or else. Jesus would not have told them, do not be troubled. Jesus, he's going to be leaving them. He's one of them is going to betray Jesus. They're troubled. The Greek is terasetho, to be in commotion, to be stirred, to be troubled. Help me out. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Piece of advice for you. Men, never tell a woman this. You can tell other guys this all day long, but don't tell a woman to calm down or don't worry. I'm learning. Just sit there. Just listen. Just cry with her. If someone is sad, there is a specific time and place to quote John 14:1 to others, but we're not Jesus. He's told us this for a specific reason. We're to look at the context. Jesus has told them that he is going to be betrayed, that he's going to be arrested, and he's going to be beaten and killed, and that he would leave them. Jesus says, don't worry about it. Jesus just told Peter that he was going to betray him 3 times. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Is that Jesus' intent by saying, don't let your hearts be troubled? Maybe, sort of. The passage, it's definitely one to be encouraging to the disciples. When we really examine John 14, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. What is the most troubling thing for you to think of? Maybe it's losing a loved one, whether a child or a spouse, someone that is extremely close to you. Jesus says, I'm leaving and you cannot follow. Well, what can be more troubling than the Son of God who does miracles? He says, I'm going to die, I'm going to leave you. And I think that's why in John 13:2, Jesus loved them, it says, to the very end. John MacArthur, he says, this whole chapter centers in the promise that Christ is the one who gives the believer comfort, not only in his future return, but also in the present with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Listen, we don't have to worry when we believe in Jesus. MacArthur, again, he says, instead of the disciples lending support to Jesus before his cross, he had to support them spiritually as well as emotionally. This reveals his heart of serving, that of love. Jesus, he's about to take on the sins of the world, the repulsiveness of the things that very separate us from God. And in that moment, Jesus, he tells his disciples, I got this. Don't worry. I've known that this day is coming. I've known the end of the story. The end result is going to be glorification for my Father and glorification for myself. Jesus tells them to not be troubled. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. This is a command. Believe in God. Jesus says, believe also in me. If Jesus were not God, he could not rightfully tell this to his disciples. He could not ask this with a clear conscience to believe in himself. He couldn't say in a few verses later that he is the way, the truth, and the life if he was not God. To say that Jesus, he never claimed to be on the same level as Almighty God is false. It's complete nonsense. He's already told us back in John 10:30 that he and the Father are one. And this is why they tried to stone him. he confirms their faith in God. And he says, believe also in me. The reason we're to believe in Jesus is because he is God. He is the object of our faith. Jesus is the manifestation of the visible representation of the invisible God. I was asked recently what our relationship with Jesus should look like. Should we pray to Jesus or to God our Father? The answer is yes, we should pray. Prayer should be addressed to the Father. It is through Jesus that we have access to the Father by the Holy Spirit. You can pray to all members of the Trinity. The biblical pattern is to ask the Father in Jesus' name. He's the mediator and the answer to all prayer. Amen. Coming to God is by the Spirit through the Son, so that the Father and all three will be magnified and glorified. And here in John 14, Jesus is telling us to believe both in God the Father and Jesus as God the Son. The gospel is to believe on what Jesus has said and did. It's based on the accomplishment that was done at the cross. The Christian's view of salvation, it's strikingly different from that of the world's. Any other world religion, it uses a works-based system to get into heaven. You have to do more good than bad. You have to say certain prayers. You have to do this. You have to give money. You have to do stuff. H.A. Ironside, he was right when he said there are only two religions in the world. The world can be divided into two categories, God's and Satan's. Satan's way is falsehood. Satan's way is obviously falsehood. He would mislead us to think that we can earn our own salvation. But Titus 3, 4 through 7 states that when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Christ Jesus, our Savior. If you want to, yeah, it wasn't because of anything that we did. And if you want to know what separates true Christians from Catholics and other religions, the five solas of the Reformation is a great place to start. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, because his word, Scripture alone, is the final authority for God's glory alone. Amen. We cannot earn our salvation. It is a gift that must be received. I can't pay for your sins. You can't even pay for your own sins. Only Christ, the perfect, spotless Lamb, can pay for your sins. Jesus says, you believe in God, believe also in me. If you're troubled in spirit, trust Christ Jesus. He gives us a promise in verse 2. He says he's going away to prepare a place for us when we believe in him. There's truth here in what Jesus says. If Jesus' words aren't true, if he's not who he says he is, then live it up. But if his words are true, then we've better listen. We're to believe in Jesus. Jesus tells us to believe in him. He also tells us to believe that he has a Father, and that his Father's house is in heaven, and that he goes to prepare a place for us. Jesus, he tells us straight out that in his Father's house are many mansions, many rooms, many dwelling places, many places to live within a larger house. He says if it were not so, he would have told us differently. He's going to prepare a place for us. God the Father dwells in heaven. It's a spiritual and a physical place. King Jimmy, he says mansions. I hope he's right. Others, they might be translated apartments. Jesus says you believe in God, believe also in me. The same word, believe. The same way you trust in God, trust also in Jesus. I'm going to my Father's house to prepare a place for you that will be for those that believe in him and in me. Jesus says that where he is going, they know the way. At least they should know the way. The disciples, they should know by now. But to clarify, we see doubting Thomas ask in verse 5. He says, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And I'm really surprised that there's not a sigh from Jesus. But one of the greatest verses in John comes next. Another great I am statement that gives clear direction to Thomas's question of how can we know the way? Jesus, in verse 6, he says, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Today, we're going to look at each one of those. First, Jesus says, I am the way. We are to believe that Jesus is the way. In the book of Acts, the early followers of Jesus were called the way. This is because of Jesus' statement here in John 14. Peter, he will later refer to Christianity as the way of truth in 2 Peter 2:2. In the book of Hebrews, we're told that Jesus' broken body is the new and living way for us to enter into the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. Jesus is the way. If you notice, Jesus did not say, I am a way. I am the way, the only way. Jesus here, he's clearly claiming to be God, the only way to God the Father. There is no salvation apart from Jesus. He told us to believe in God. He told us to believe also in him. Jesus, he's going to prepare a place for us in heaven for those that believe in him. And when Jesus prepares something, he does it well. It will be beautiful. It will be marvelous. It will be free of suffering and death and decay. There will be no tears, no sickness, no worries. Verse 3 says that if he goes and prepares a place, he will come again and receive us to himself, so that where Jesus is, we can be also. Hallelujah. This exclusive claim that Jesus is the only way to God is one reason why the world hates Christians. It's not very politically correct to be so narrow-minded. Nevertheless, Jesus states it. Jesus is the only way to the Father. He is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the true light that gives light and life to all. As many that has received Jesus, it says, to them he gave the right to become children of God. It is of his fullness that we have all received grace upon grace. No one has seen God at any time, the book of John says. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Jesus, he opens the way to the Father. He declares to us the directions. The directions are himself. If we believe in Jesus, we believe that he was sent by God, that he is God. If we gaze upon Christ, we gaze upon the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Only through Jesus can we have boldness to enter in to the throne room of the Almighty. Jesus, he's already told us that he is the door back in John 10:9, that anyone must enter by him, and in order to be saved, we must believe that Jesus is the way. He's already told us that he and his Father are one. Jesus is not only the way, but Jesus is also the truth. He comes to testify to the truth. Over and over again, we have heard Jesus say, truly, truly, or most assuredly, Jesus proclaims what is true. And we are to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Jesus proclaims the truth. It is only by abiding in Jesus' word that we can know what is true. We are sanctified by the truth because his words are true. We are also to believe that Jesus is the life. He offers abundant life. We've said over and over again, what is the purpose of the Gospel of John? These things are written so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we may have eternal life. Jesus being our good shepherd, he knows what we know, what we need. He has come that we may have life and have life more abundantly. Even now in a state of inflation and deflation of product, you have to pay more. But God's ways of counting and abundance are huge. Jesus offers abundance in different than that of the world. He offers and he provides abundance by giving us what we need. He gives us comfort and peace. You know, there are some things that money can't buy. It sure helps though. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Jesus is truly the only way, the only truth. He's the only way for eternal life. He's the only way to truly know and experience heaven. He's the only way to our Heavenly Father. Jesus is the embodiment of all truth because he is true. He's truly true. Jesus is absolute truth, regardless of how a person thinks or feels about it. But finally, we are to believe that Jesus is Lord. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. There is no argument. Jesus is Lord. Every knee will eventually bow. Every tongue will eventually confess that Jesus is Lord. Feelings, opinions, political parties, they won't matter. Jesus still is King. Amen. He gives freedom from sin and death. He is the source of eternal life. It must be personal for you, though. Every one of us must repent and receive Christ. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the word says. Here in John 14, 8, Philip, who was first introduced Nathanael to Jesus, who was tested by Jesus and on how to feed the 5,000 plus in John 6, who's probably Greek. If you remember in John 12, the Greeks, they come to Philip and they say that they wanted to see Jesus. And Philip, he asks a bold statement, Lord, show us the Father and it will be sufficient for us. Jesus says, have I been with you so long, and you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me, Jesus says, has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me, or else believe for the sake of the miracles themselves. There is complete unity in the Godhead. There's a mutual indwelling that the Father is in the Son and that the Son is in the Father. In theology, there's a term called the hypostatic union. It's the combination of the divine and the human natures in the God-man, Jesus Christ. Jesus, he was fully human and fully God. There was never a time that Jesus did not exist. He took on human form in the womb of his virgin mother Mary, yet he remained fully God. These two natures of human and divine were a one-time event. There is no holy mother, there is no holy sister, there's just God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus will forever be God. He will forever be God in his resurrected body. We started off with belief in God at the beginning of the chapter. In Jesus, it comes full circle. The Father and the Son are one, but they are still distinct persons. We are told that the Father who dwells in the Son does the miracles. Jesus, in his humanness, could not perform the miracles. It was done through the power, the divine power in him. Jesus says, "Believe the works that I speak are from the Father." We are to believe that Jesus is in the Father and that the Father is in Jesus. It would be as true to say that the Spirit is in all three. But if you can't wrap your mind around the Trinity, Jesus says, believe for the sake of the miracles. We are at the mercy of what God has revealed to us through his scriptures. There is a special unity in the Godhead between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The eternal God, he has revealed to us himself by the Son. Whatever trouble we might go through, we don't have to do it alone. God is there. Jesus has gone through the pain and the hardships. He's even taken on death so that we can have eternal life. And we may never fully understand the two natures of Jesus as being both God and human. Nonetheless, we're told to believe that Jesus was fully divine. He says, believe in God, believe also in me. He is the only way to eternal life. All other ways, all other religions are false. They're destruction. They're usually self-centered. On the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. Payment was made available, but we accept it by faith, his substitute for us. There's no other way to heaven. God has created us with free will. He's also chosen us before the foundation of the earth. The most important thing you can ever do is place your trust, your faith, your belief in the Maker, Jesus Christ. He has given us the meaning and the purpose for life. True meaning and purpose is found in recognizing who God really is. He is the answer for troubled hearts. You cannot be the person God wants you to be without a cultivated relationship with him and through the Holy Spirit. We are to have a healthy, reverent fear of God. He has the power over life and death. Our choice is what kind of relationship we can have with him. He's offered the way to eternal life by faith and belief in him. In him, we don't have to worry. We can cast our anxieties, our cares upon Christ because he cares for us. Hallelujah. He tells us not to be troubled. Even when things seem to be out of control, he is sovereign over all things. We can trust in him. You can know that you're going to heaven because he has shown us the way. He says, put your faith in God. Put your faith also in me. You must realize that you have sinned. All of us have sinned and fallen short. The wages or the payment for sin is death. And all of us will eventually die. But if you die in your sins, unforgiven, that's bad. Because no one is righteous enough to go to heaven on their own merit. We must have Jesus' righteousness imputed to us by faith. We are to realize that we are a sinner. We're to repent of our sin. We're to change our mind. We're to agree with God that what we have done is wrong, that we've broken His law. We are to turn and follow Christ. We're to receive Him as our only hope in life and death. He promises us that He will come and receive us unto Himself. We must follow Him. It is a declaration of assurance that He will come again. He's come once in the flesh. And when He comes again, it will be to set all things right. Amen. And this is the only way to heaven, by trusting in Jesus Christ, receiving Him as Lord, repenting of sin, confessing with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believing in your hearts that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. The Word says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. This is God's Word, and I say thanks be to God for it. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, thank You that You have shown us the way. Your one and only Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only way, the only truth. He is the way to eternal life. Lord, may all that are here have faith and hope and knowledge in Your Son. May our hearts not be troubled or stirred by the worries of this life. May we know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that we may be full with all the fullness of You. Lord, may You give us understanding to such a great passage that Jesus is God and that He has all authority given by You. Lord, if there's someone here that does not know You as Savior, may today be the day of salvation. May they know that they have a need to be saved from sin's penalty, that we've all fallen. We've all sinned. We all, like sheep, Your Word has said, have gone astray. We've all turned everyone to his own way. But You laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. You've paid the payment for us. Your Word says it's appointed for man to die once, and after that to come judgment. We cannot save ourselves. Your Word says that unless one is born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. You saved us not because of the works that we've done, but because of Your own mercy, Your own righteousness. You've provided the way for salvation. There's one God. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God. Lord, we can be saved today by belief. Your Word says to seek the Lord while He may be found, to call upon You while You are near. We're to believe in the Lord Jesus, and we will be saved. We're to repent. We're to turn from sins. We're to confess our sins to Jesus. And we're to confess Jesus before others. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. He's able. You're more than able, Lord. You can forgive all sin if we confess You as Lord. Lord, may today be the day of salvation. In Jesus' name.